Kansas City's 3rd District faces multiple challenges: a 14% unemployment rate, crime, and the highest poverty rate in the city. Last year, Jermaine Reed was elected to represent the 3rd District, the youngest councilman ever to have served on city council. Enthusiastic supporters said Reed represented fresh ideas and a youth perspective. But before long, he was criticized for being politically naive and inexperienced, launching a recall effort that was eventually abandoned. I sat down with Reed to talk about his first 9 months in office, including accomplishments, future plans, and lessons learned.
I was born and raised in the 3rd District. My family, for the most part, lived in the 3rd District all my life. I went to schools in the Kansas, Missouri School District and was part of the community now that I represent for my entire life.
Well, when we think about the 3rd District, we think about the multiple and probably complex challenges. I mean, you've got crime, you've got lack of economic development, and many, many other issues. As a councilman, how do you even get your focus, or how do you prioritize the issues that you're going to work on in the 3rd District?
Coming to City Hall and making sure that I'm focused on the needs and concerns of our residents. If we have time, I certainly would talk about that I've been focused on this entire year. And the first one I certainly would talk about, the Aldi's grocery store, which is going to be built at 39th and Prospect. And so when I start talking about eliminating a food desert and hopefully bring in other grocery stores in the area, it's from being able to work with the Full Employment Council to provide jobs for young people between the ages of 18 and 14 years old who are unemployed in the in targeted areas of Jackson County. In addition to some housing that we have going, in addition to East Patrol Campus, which is going to be built at 27th and Prospect, and a host of other things that I certainly could talk about how I come and try to make the best of what I can do every day to make sure that citizens in Kansas City, and especially our 3rd District, are seeing real change every day.
You mentioned many projects, and some of which are pretty complex and will take some time to really come to fruition. What do you see as the low-hanging fruit in the 3rd District, easy things that you can tackle and get some immediate results?
I would say that things like curbs and sidewalks and being able to improve our parks and our park systems, those are certainly low-hanging fruit. Just last month, the City Council approved $3.2 million in PIAC funds, which goes toward public infrastructure. They're low-hanging fruits, but they're also big-hanging fruits for people who have to live that life every day when you go outside and you don't necessarily have a sidewalk, or you try to take your kid down to the park and you don't even have a quality swing set, and if it gets dark, there's not even a light that comes on. And so these are low-hanging, but they're big-hanging fruits for people who have to deal with it every day, and they're things that we are certainly get done, and it's part of the reason why we've approved $3.2 million to get them done.
Now, you serve as vice chair of the Public Safety and Emergency Services Committee. What key initiatives are you concerned with as it relates to the 3rd District that come through this committee?
One of the biggest things that we certainly heard throughout this budget cycle was about firefighters and not wanting to have 105 firefighters lose their jobs. And just knowing, of course, that out of our $1.6 billion budget that we have to oversee here in Kansas City, 50% of that really is public safety. So from our firefighters to our police to our hospitals, those are basic things that we have to have. Another one of the things that I pushed for a great deal back in September of 2011 when we first came on the council was that I urged the mayor and the city council to implement the 2006 Violent Crimes Commission report and pulled it off the shelf. And it had a number of recommendations in that time that talked about how we reduce crime and violence in the urban core, and the mayor has since appointed the implementation board, and they've been meeting regularly, and they are going to be putting some of those recommendations that were in that report into action.
I was going to ask you about that because, of course, we know Kansas City has been plagued by violent crime, and that has ebbed and flowed throughout the years, and there have been task forces. You have Aim for Peace that is a program to try to reduce violent crime, but it seems like we're not making the headway. What's the promise of this new implementation board? What do you think they'll accomplish that hasn't been accomplished before?
Well, Aim for Peace, actually, as you mentioned, was even one of the things that came out of the 2006 violent crimes report. But there also are a number of things in terms of how do we engage our young people to, you know, statistics of which type of organizations or services are available for persons throughout our community. I am confident that that report and their recommendations as an implementation board will come back to us that will provide us ways to, if it's some legislation that we can help pass throughout the city so that we can reduce crime and violence in our communities, or if it's just programs that are also recommended in that report that we're able to implement as well. So there will be some concrete things that will happen, and I'm confident that it will.
Now, you mentioned the new police station, and I know that there was criticism from residents about being displaced from their homes. There was criticism about them not being compensated enough. But then the troublesome point, I think, for you was then it culminated or it contributed to this recall effort that went on. And I know some people were concerned that you said, get over it, or that was alleged that you said. Let's talk about that. Can you shed more light and maybe clear up some of the controversy that surrounded this whole issue?
The reality of it is that I've never, ever in my life told anyone to get over anything. And if anything, that was a really hard decision that not only I had to make, but the other third district at large person who is Councilwoman Curls, myself, the mayor, the police board commission, we all had a say into which area was selected for the new police station. Now, also on top of that, we went through, I believe it was 25 locations that we had to look at in terms of which site we would pick as the best site for the new police station and crime lab. Out of those 25 sites, the 27th and Prospect location was the one that rang to the top. My family literally lived right on 27th and Prospect. It was a little bit down the street. And I remember, and I even drive by there today and see ladies of the night and see people who hang out on the corner. And I even remember back in 96 when HBO did a special on 27th and Prospect. And we in our community continue to say, we want to see something different. But I think the question becomes, well, what is it that we really want and what is it that we really want to see in our community to actually change it? And I am quite confident that in the next 2 to 3 years, we will transform 27th and Prospect one block at a time with this new police station. And to even answer the question when you start talking about when people allege that I said get over it to some residents, it's just certainly not true. Every time I've had a conversation with any resident in the area, the 60 households that are being displaced and they will be getting the relocation benefits, every time I've talked to them, I continue to say, you are making the ultimate sacrifice for your community because you're giving up a home that you perhaps have lived in for 40 years or 30 years or you've inherited. You are making an ultimate sacrifice so that we could see something different in our community. And I'll be forever grateful to those people because the amount of money we pay them, even if it's $3 million that I was able to get, we'll never be able to repay them for the memories that that home that they're losing has shared. We'll never be able to repay them for the sacrifices and the blood, sweat, and tears that they put into the home that they lived in for so many years.
Now, here you are, eager to serve your community, youngest city council member ever, and people are trying to recall you. How did you even kind of respond to that at the time? That must have been very demoralizing.
Well, Oprah, it was a tough at the time when people cause a distraction is really what I called it. For me, it was something that I was just reminded from words of my grandmother, who always says, you know, stay focused on the big things that are important to you. And I'm thankful that I've had an opportunity to even meet with the pastor who alleged a lot of the things. And he and I've had a conversation and we talked about how we both can make change in our community. And I don't necessarily think we'll hear from him again about recalling, because if anything, we want the best for our community.
By the way, that was Pastor Henderson Belt that you were referring to that had something to do with the recall. Well, you know, all public officials are criticized both publicly and privately, and that kind of goes with the territory. So how do you respond to critics who say, oh, Jermaine Reed, he doesn't listen to advice. He thinks he has it all down. or if we give him feedback, he doesn't incorporate it. How do you respond to people who say things like that or think things like that?
The reality of it is that I take a lot of advice. I hear advice from all sorts of people. At the end of the day, I think that I have a job to do on behalf of 78,000 citizens in the 3rd District, but 500,000 people here in Kansas City, Missouri. And I believe that I was elected to make the best decision. And so at the end of the night, I've got to be able to sleep very well so that I could get back up early in the morning and be able to make a difference all over again. And so sometimes people could say, well, he's not listening. Well, it's probably because I didn't necessarily take the advice that they wanted me to take, but I took somebody else's advice. So it's a hard position that any public servant can find themselves in.
Not to talk about another controversy, let's talk renaming Prospect Avenue Martin Luther King, which you took a hit for. You were an advocate of the change, but with all the public outcry that went on the back burner, what was it that people didn't understand about your original intent in advocating for that?
The reality of it is that it was never, ever about the street. But my whole approach is that given the history of Dr. King and given what he actually stood for and given what we can work toward as a community, is that our street may look like one thing now, but if we work toward the bigger picture, we will see a totally different Martin Luther King Street later on. And that's part of the reason when I start talking about the Prospect Plan, when I start talking about the new grocery store that's coming on 39th and Prospect, when I start talking about 27th and Prospect, when I could talk from about new housing from 18th to 26th and Prospect. And these are things that are extremely important to revitalizing what Prospect actually looks like. And I can even go down outside of my district to 63rd and Prospect with the Citadel project, which is now going to be all restored. And we as a community can work towards something and a big goal to make something look different. And it will be a street that we will be happy to call Dr. Martin Luther King, because we'll be able to say, hey, we work toward it. And frankly, I'm not committed to just saying Prospect is the street that we have to rename. It was a street that was part of a conversation that I've had and part of a conversation that I've had with community people as well.
So partly the name provides kind of the vision, the impetus to transform it into something different.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are some lessons learned? Because everybody in public office every year brings new lessons, I think.
Yeah. And the reality of it is that I'm still learning every day. And so, yes, I've learned from some mistakes over the past year. I could say my Prospect was one lesson learned in terms of making sure I have more community input and dialogue and in terms of something that has such an effect in the entire and broader community. I mean, that's certainly a lesson learned to be able to talk with residents and get their feedback, which is what I've been doing. I look forward to the next 3 years and even 4 more years thereafter when I'm reelected as a second termer.
That was City Councilman Jermaine Reed, serving in a 3rd District in-district position.